come one and all. This here is Fish Fry, Amelia's weekly fish fry to be exact, brought to you by the hardworking folks at eejournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, your EE town crier this week, bringing you the goods from the land of baked beans, chowder, and the Celtics. That's right, Fish Fry is on the road, coming to you from Boston, Massachusetts. This week's Fish Fry is all about your next PCB design. From power integrity to mixed signal place and route, from Gerber files to schematics, from output pins over the FR4 and through the Via to grandmother's house we go. First, let's talk about the hardest part of your design, unless you were a Grateful Dead roadie in the past life, the analog mixed signal. My first guest is Greg Lebsack from Tanner EDA, and we're talking about why you want a digital place and route tool, integrating ye old analog into your next design, and what Tanner EDA brings to the mixed signal party. Check it out. Hi, Greg. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure, Amelia.
So, Greg, tell my audience who may not know, what does Tanner EDA do?
Tanner EDA develops design software for analog and mixed signal designers. So we've got a complete full flow, everything from schematic capture and spike simulation through layout and then physical verification. We also have tools and capabilities for MEMS designers, as that's starting to be a growing demand, and we're seeing more integration between MEMS and IC.
Okay, so I saw recently that you guys have a new release that involves digital place and route. Now, what's new with this digital place and route tool, and why digital? Why now?
Yes, we did have a release. And, you know, we are following the progression of our customers here. As, you know, our clients are really moving away from pure analog designs, really moving into more mixed signal designs, we've adapted our flow to really take advantage of these new capabilities in the marketplace. And so what we've done is we've come out with a digital flow to complement our longstanding analog flow. So our place and route tool was the last piece of really putting together our full mixed signal flow. We've got a digital simulator, we've got synthesis tools, and now our place and route tool. Our place and route tool is really targeted at the big A, small D mixed signal market. So that's really customers that are doing their designs are big analog, small digital. We look at is really somewhere around 50,000 gates, maybe up to the high end of maybe 100,000 gates. It's really a sweet spot for our tool. And so we've seen customers that are really looking to do designs in those areas, and we think this is a perfect complement to fit their growing needs.
Okay. As a follow-up to my previous question, do you think that designers in general are moving away from strictly analog to a more mixed signal approach?
Oh, absolutely. We see that nearly every day when we talk to our designers. Clearly, there's that trend that, you know, as things, chips need to get smaller, faster, more capabilities, they're looking to integrate analog and digital into a single design. Many of our customers come from pure analog background, so they have traditionally outsourced the digital part of their designs, and now they're looking to bring it back in-house. We've also got customers that it's just growing part of their need, and they're adding additional capabilities and, you know, are needing kind of more capabilities in their tool flow to meet these new design needs.
So let's talk about your tool offerings and the tool offerings from smaller companies versus the larger companies in the EDA space.
Well, I think it's always been Tanner EDA's belief that there's huge value in buying a tool from a single provider. I think that the biggest factor comes from that we have a single design team here building and creating a tool flow, a unified tool flow that has a common look and feel across all of our applications. So in the end, it becomes a tool that is easier to use. It becomes that has tightly integrated features and in the end makes our designers more effective. There's also a number of other issues from one number to call, you know, for support issues, one company responsible for any integration or product issues. Our customers really get a sense of what to expect from the business and product relationships. I think there's big cost savings from doing that as well, too, and the list kind of continues to go on from there.
All right, Greg, it's time for your off-the-cuff question now. I know you're a bit of a hockey fan, so who is your favorite team and who is your favorite player of all time?
Yes, I am a big hockey fan growing up in Canada. Loved the game of hockey and played it through many years. Clearly, you know, living in Los Angeles, my favorite team is the defending Stanley Cup champions, the LA Kings. but also having the chance to grow up in central Alberta. Was very fortunate to be near Wayne Gretzky and got to see him play many times. So he's considered to be one of the best, if not the best player of all time, and he's certainly my favorite as well.
Excellent. I think that's the only hockey player I can actually name. Well, Greg, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Great. Thank you, Amelia. I appreciate it as well, too.
Next up, my guest is Hemet Shaw from Cadence Design Systems. Hemet is here to chat about one of the biggest pain points of PCB design, the handoff to manufacturing. You got your Gerber files, you got your schematics, you got your drill files, you got your doofus down the aisle who didn't check in his last revision, and now, oh shoot, manufacturing came back with a big old sorry, that won't work, my friend. Well, there is a rapidly expanding industry consortium that is hoping to change all of that awful file handoff once and for all. The IPC 2581 Consortium. Let's talk about that now. Hi, Hemet. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
All right. So you lead the IPC 2581 Consortium. Now, first, tell my audience what exactly the IPC 2581 standard is all about and what this consortium is about. What particular PCB pain are you guys looking to help solve?
So, Amelia, 2581 is an IPC standard, and it is a single file that represents what you want to build for your design on the board.
Okay.
It's a file that describes to the manufacturer what to build. It's a format that takes away the problem of having to deal with multiple files. So today, majority of the companies, 95%+ of the companies, provide Gerber files, which is plenty of files by themselves for one or many file per layer.
Yeah.
And then you have the netlist file, you have the NC drill file, you have the test file, any other kind of instructions you have.
Right.
You got to create a file. So all of this combination of files is what is used by majority of the companies to hand off to manufacturing. And any mistake anybody makes in that creation of that release package means that they're scrapped to deal with, and there'll be finger pointing between the fabricator and the design house.
Right.
So the 2581 format was created back in 2004, and it's a format that sort of stayed on the shelf for a long time.
Hmm.
A group of companies wanted to use this format, but the challenge was nobody was producing 2581 from the CAD tools, and nobody was consuming it on the manufacturing side of things.
Right.
So this was a chicken and egg problem.
Yeah.
So a group of companies, 12 to be exact, started a consortium to solve this chicken and egg problem to get the 2581 adopted. And now, today, there are many more companies that joined the consortium. But the objective of the consortium was to ensure that the standard is interpreted correctly by all parties that are producing and consuming it. You know, sometimes there's a 2581 file produced by a tool like Allegro, or could be Altium's tool, or could be Zukin's tool. But then there may be a tool that does penalization. So then that modifies the design to create the penalization piece of it.
Hmm.
So this tool needs to consume the 2581, but also produce it.
Right.
So you want to make sure that the interpretation of the standard is correct and accurate. So one of the first things that the consortium did was created a set of sample files, which are available on the consortium's website, ipc2581.com, and then did some testing by producing the traditional files and the 2581 file and compared the output of those files into tools that do penalization or do DFM checking or the manufacturing tools. So there are compare tools available to compare the different designs.
Mm.
So we produce the traditional outputs with multiple files, and then produce the 2581, and compare the results and make sure that the results are accurate. So that's where the sample test cases made huge difference in getting it started. Now, as a result of these testings, we discovered that there were areas where the spec was vague, so we clarified it and documented it, so make sure everybody interprets it right.
Good.
We also discovered that there were things that we could improve in the standard.
Mm.
So, for example, stackup exchange today is done through Excel, spreadsheet, PowerPoint, and PDF files.
Mm-hmm.
And because the 2581 file format also includes a stackup, we enhanced that stackup definition to ensure that 2581 can be used for collaboration before the design starts, collaboration on stackup design.
Mm.
Usually, the systems company will provide their requirements to their manufacturer. The manufacturer will then send how the stackup will be built to meet the requirements, and that exchange is done in Excel spreadsheet. With 2581, now it's an electronic data format using an open, neutral, global standard.
Okay, so Hemet, give us a glimpse into what your membership looks like now, from the associates to the corporations. You know, it doesn't matter if a consortium builds up an open standard if no one joins, right?
That's very true. So we started with 12 companies in 2011, and now we're up to 67.
Wow.
And we're adding companies almost one a week.
Wow.
These are companies that are coming to the consortium because they believe in an open standard. They want to join in. They want to support the standard. So we have companies that represent the EDA companies or software companies that support the design side of things. Then we have software companies that support the manufacturing side of things. And then, of course, we have companies that are system houses, the main consumer of this handoff, right? Because it's the design house that's got to worry about handing off the right data, right release package, so that their manufacturer will build it right the first time.
Right.
And they don't want to answer a whole bunch of questions when they hand off the release package. So 2581 is a single file format, single file, not multiple files. All of the data that you need to assemble, fabricate, and test can be included in there. There are times when companies have a fabricator that doesn't do assembly, and they have a different company that doesn't assemble and test.
Mm-hmm.
So file can be generated to just have the fabrication data or just have the assembly data.
Huh.
So it's up to the user, consumer of it. So the companies that we have, some of the ones that are notable from the EDA company point of view, you have Altium, you have Cadence, of course, you have Zukin, you have smaller companies like Pulsonics, then the companies like Wyze, Adeva, Downstream, Polywog. And then on the system houses, which are the driver of the standard,
yeah,
we have companies like Cisco, EMC, Ericsson, Fujitsu, Harris, Orbital, Lockheed Martin, we have Microsoft, we have NVIDIA, QLogic, Qualcomm. So these are the companies that are driving the standard. Then we have manufacturing companies like Sanmina, we have VIA Systems, then we have smaller companies, manufacturing companies also represented in the consortium. So really a widespread PCB design and supply chain companies that want an open, neutral, global standard.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Hemet.
Happy to be here.
I've got two words for you. The vault. What comes to mind? Maybe some kind of bank heist movie, probably starring Tom Cruise. Maybe that place you still have PTSD about staying in San Francisco. But no, all of those may be true, but keeping in mind our board design theme this week, we're talking about Altium's Design Data and Management System. We all know that our engineering projects require professional working practices, especially when we're designing things to be manufactured in volume. We really need to keep track of which version was sent where, what revision Bob over in the next cube messed up, collaborated on, and how the heck we're gonna get all the right stuff handed off to manufacturing. This here, ladies and gentlemen, is exactly what our newest episode of Chalk Talk entitled The Vault is all about. Join me as I chat with PCB rock star Sam Sattell of Altium about Altium's Vault, which aims to make all of those professional practices a whole lot easier and smoother. If you want to check out this hot off the digital presses episode of Chalk Talk, just head on over to YouTube, keyword EE Journal. You can also check out the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, or heck, you can check out the eejournal.com on demand section right there on the navigation bar. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, well, yes, we're there as well. Also, we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can also grab our Fish Frying RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 21st, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.